Amazing. Welcome. It is good to see you this morning. If you are visiting for the first time and you're from town and you stay here and you're not an out-of-towner, we'd love just to make you feel welcome. And we'd love, we have a little pamphlet that we give out just so that you can find out more information about us. And if you want someone to reach out, it's got a little, you can give some of your details. But if you haven't got one of those this morning and you are visiting from in town for the first time, I wonder if you could raise your hand if you want one of those, we can get it to you. There's no free coffee this week because it's leave. There we go. Please get them over there. Welcome. It's great. Can you do a better bit of applause there? That's like... Amazing. If you come back next week, it's like our tagline. It's not, well, not next week, but the week after, because the coffee shop's still closed next week. We will give you a free coffee. We'd love to just to get to know you. You can fill out information there. You can read more about us. But welcome. If you're visiting from out of town, if you're here to see family, we have friends. I'd like to say visiting us, but there are so many people. They're visiting everybody. But it's really cool to have you guys with us this morning. And then this morning we've got Mr. Donovan. He's going to preach. Donnie, come up. Love to pray for you. Just a side note, is there is no kids ministry this week and next week and the week after still. So if your kids are with you and they're doing okay, that's amazing. If they are getting a little bit rowdy and needing some exercise, they can go out that side. But just note they are your children, meaning your responsibility. If they get each other in a headlock, it's up to you to break that up. And then there is a mother's room if you have small kids that need sleeping or feeding over there. Cool. Lord, thank you for Don. And I pray that this morning he would just, as he explains and expounds your word, I pray that it would come to life for us right now this morning. Father, that as he preaches, it would feel like you are speaking straight into us in our circumstance. Almost that we'd doubt Donovan's motive because it's so specific to our lives. So I pray this in your wonderful name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Come on. Amen. Mornings, guys and ladies. You guys all right? Let's do this. I'm going to start with a verse. Let's read Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Amen. Let's read that again. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest." Who of you guys like rest? The rest, if you don't like rest, okay, it's fine. We can hopefully convince you guys. "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart." This is now the creator of heaven and earth. He's speaking here. "You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, it is easy to bear, and my burden I give you, it is light." Hallelujah. So this is Matthew 11. Jesus is about 30 now. He's old, yes, yeah. 30 years old, he was a carpenter for most of his days, very good with his hands, technically a builder. And he left his father's business, going to full-time ministry. He was baptized by John the Baptist by now. He went into the wilderness, had a bit of a face-off with Satan himself. Quite hectic. I don't know if you guys tried one of those. So Jesus is doing all of this now. He called some guys to follow him, the disciples. So he called them the disciples. And he sent them out in chapter 10, 2 by 2, like the animals went into the ark type of vibes. And they're going out, they're doing great. They're preaching that the kingdom of heaven is near. And this is good news if you guys think in the context of Israel at that moment. Israel at that moment, this was in Israel, by the way. I didn't mention that. He was born in Bethlehem, lived in Egypt, did a bit of a detour when he was little. Came back to Nazareth, a little town in the area called Galilee. And so Jesus is there. Where were we? With the disciples. Yes. So they're going out. They're doing miracles. They're preaching that the kingdom of God is at hand. And basically what he's saying, I know you guys got a Roman king, King Herod. But there's a new king in town. Now, That's dangerous stuff. Just to go out there. Go read Matthew 10. It's hectic, guys. So I don't know when last you got a work job card from your boss saying, guys, go out, do your thing. Just remember they're going to draw you to the leaders. They're going to persecute you. They're going to try to kill you. Who's up to ready? We don't have one volunteer. Guys, this is literally what we sign up for. But anyway, so this is what the disciples sign up for. They're ready. They're on the mission. They're doing good. They're healing the sick. They're cleansing lepers. I don't know if you know what a leper is. They got little dots on them and like they cast out. They're even raising the dead at this moment, confirming the gospel of God. Remember now, there's a new king in town. And in verse 1 in Matthew 11, we see that Jesus himself is also going out. He's preaching the kingdom of God is here and telling them about himself. He's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. He's doing all kinds of great things. Now, I don't know about you, but if I have a kid who's convulsing and falling into the fire every night, you know this, I don't know if you guys read the story, and Jesus comes around, cast out the thing in him, and he's happy. Who of you would like this Jesus? Yeah. But we see this in this chapter that what happens here is that the towns reject Jesus. It's quite hectic if you think about it. He's doing good. He's bringing breakthroughs. He's saving marriages. They just had the first couple fight and Jesus helps him through it. And this guy is raised from the dead. That kid is not sick anymore. The leper is part of the crowd. He doesn't have to sit outside and, you know, scratch his wounds type of thing. And it's going well. But what we see here is that the people just reject Jesus. Reject the miracles, so much so that Jesus said, you guys are worse off than Sodom. And I don't know if you guys read Genesis 19, the story, probably one of the most wicked cities according to scripture, so much so that God destroyed the whole city with fire. Hectic, bro. Hectic stuff. So these guys, and the reason why this is such a hard story to listen to, is because they didn't only reject the miracles of Jesus. They rejected the person. It was Jesus himself who came and gave them the good news. John the Baptist gets thrown into prison. He called out King Herod for divorcing his wife, marrying his brother's wife. A little bit messed up there. He gets thrown into prison. The towns are rejecting him. And in the midst of all of this, Jesus says, to whom can I compare this generation? Now, listen to this verse quickly. Verse 16, I think we got it up there. To whom can I compare this generation? He says, it's like children playing a game in the public square. They complain to their friends. We played wedding songs, and you didn't dance. We played funeral songs, and you didn't mourn. Doesn't it sound like our generation? Playing games, playing songs. And if you don't dance with them, if you don't sing with them, you get canceled. This is such a, I was like blown away when I read this verse again this week. I was like, wow, this is our generation. This is where we now. It's such a generation of trying to provoke us to respond, playing games, singing songs, making demands, setting conditions, and trying to convince us to join their games. But Jesus gets up in the midst of all this, verse 25, and he says, listen to this. Oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. So Jesus says, you think you know how to do this? You got your games, you got your songs, you got your ideas, you got your wisdom. I'm going to hide these things from you. I'm going to reveal myself to those who are willing to be childlike. And it's the way of the Father. It pleased the Father to do it this way. And then Jesus says in verse 27, my Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father. And no one truly knows the Father except the Son. And to those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus gave a little bit of a different angle on the same concept in John 14 when he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is positioning himself as the one. To whom we get. There is no one like Jesus. There is no way to eternity, to life without Jesus. And then in verse 30, verse 28, Jesus lifts up his voice and he says to the people with a gracious invitation, come to me. Come to me. All of you weary and burdened by the games of this generation, by the songs of this generation, by the religious rules and burdens. He says, come to me. And our first thing I want to say about this come to me is Jesus, it's a personal invitation. It's to each one of us, each one. And the only one that is excluded is the one who excludes himself. Literally. The one who's not willing to say, Lord, I don't want to be wise and clever. I want it your way. Very simply. No one is excluded from this invitation to Jesus. Jesus invites us personally and directly, each one of us, by name. He remembers when he formed you. So we've got a child whose birthday is today. And he turned 8. We're not allowed to sing. Sorry, guys. He said he's going to be very upset if we sing, so don't sing. You can sing to him. So my wife's line this whole week was, just remember, I birthed you. You came out of this. And if you think about it, that thing came out of that. And how much more, guys, how much more personal it is for God who knit us together in our mother's wombs. He knows every hair. That's why some of us lose hair so that the Lord has a little bit less work. I'm joking. So Jesus is calling each one of us to himself personally by name. The next thing he does, how he calls us, it's relationally. Firstly, before there's any function, before there's any job to do, he calls you relationally. He wants to be with you, like he walked with Adam in the cool of the garden, in the garden, in the cool of the day. I like that word, cool of the day. And so Jesus calls us, and in Jesus' time, there was many teachers, there was many rabbis you could follow, very similar to our time. I'm like, you open your phone, you go onto YouTube, you go onto any platform, there is a bunch of gurus out there, life coaches, mentors, preachers, teachers, I don't know what they call them all, but you can follow and like almost anything, anyone. You can get what you want. And Jesus said, no, wait, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. And he doesn't just call you to his teaching, but he says, come to me. So I want us to consider when we listen to teachers, when we start to follow things, remember Jesus is calling us to himself. There's a relationship there. I was asking my 8-year-old yesterday when he was still 7 years old, so Jada, what's your favorite thing to do in the morning? Because first we started like what do you want to ask the Lord today? And he's like, no, I don't know what I want to ask the Lord today. And I was like, no, look. So what are you? And he's like, oh, God is my king and I'm his child. That's like wonderful. So what's your favorite thing to do in the morning? He goes like reading my Bible. I'm like, no man, don't give the right answer. Who have you read first thing in the morning your Bible? Now, well done. I've got one hand there. We've got Pharaoh's going to lay hands on everyone. We need more of that Bible reading in the morning. But no. I said, it's like, so what's your real thing you want to do? And he goes like, I love to ride my bicycle. And I was like, do you know that God loves to ride bicycle with you? And I'm using it as a very simple example, but the things we do, God is never gone. He's never missing in action. I know we think he's in China when we're watching stuff on our screens and no. He is with you. Emmanuel, God with us. He never leaves us, never forsakes us, every single moment. That's good news, eh? Praise God. Come on. So Jesus says, and then so he invites us to himself, he invites us to a relationship, and he says, I will give you rest. He positions himself as the rest giver. Now we had 10 people lacking rest earlier. Do we have 10 more now at least? Like, come on, man. So this rest thing that Jesus talks is, Isaiah prophesied, and he said he's going to be called the Prince of Peace. Who likes peace? Oh my goodness. My wife is immediately, So my wife is working on my volume levels in general every day. She's like, peace is here, Liffy. It's not there. Praise the Lord. John 16:33, Jesus says, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Praise the Lord for many trials and many sorrows. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. So Jesus is saying here that the peace and the rest he offers is not in, doesn't mean the absence of trouble, but in the midst of the trouble, he gives us. Because why? Because the peace is in the person and the presence of Jesus. You need peace? You're struggling with anxiety? We need to get to Jesus, guys. If we're worrying, we need to get to Jesus. First and foremost. We need to come to learn to come to him directly. Come to him relationally. Say, Lord, I'm actually worried. And I don't know about you guys, but who went through some stuff this last 13 years? 13 years. Who went through some stuff this last year? Sorry. My dyslexia kicked in there. Like for us, we lost a father. Sammy lost a father this last year. Then we lost our business. Then we had to obviously sell and lose our car. Then we had to lose and sell our house. And in the midst of all this, this one guy is trying to pass his maths, breaks limbs. It was a tough year. If you think of trials and sorrows. Who of you guys lost some people, went through some challenging times? I know some stories here. Come on, praise God. And the Lord said, in the midst of that, not in the absence of, in the midst of that, your troubles is promised. His presence is also promised. What are we going to turn to? What are we going to turn to? The very person of Jesus. Jesus describes, actually Paul describes this peace as the peace that's above understanding. What does that mean? It's so good, it almost can't be true, but it is. You can't understand it. Are you serious, Donovan? Can we have peace while we're losing our families? Can we have peace while we don't have money to pay the bills? Alex smiles. He's like, I haven't tried that yet. Praise God. Can we have peace when our children are sick? When we don't know what the doctor doesn't know what's going on? Can we have peace? Jesus describes this peace as a peace that's above understanding. It guards our hearts and it guards our minds. How beautiful is that? Psalm 23, David describes it as green pastures, still waters. Even in the midst of our enemies. And even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Even there, goodness and mercy following us. That's the type of presence that the Lord is inviting us into. The peace of God. Where it's not about, oh, I've got breakthrough. I've got Jesus. And Jesus is enough. But there is another dimension to this where Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And what does he mean with that? So he said, take my yoke upon you. Now, in agricultural context, I don't know if you guys have seen a yoke. It's this wooden beam. They put it over the oxen. They pair the oxen together and they plow the field. A yoke is what teachers would use the word for their very teaching. It would be their set of teaching. So if I come to Ray, and Ray is a rabbi, walking around with his long thing, dress thing on, And I say, Rabbi Ray, teach me something. And then that the teachings he's given me is called his yoke. So when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, he says, take my teachings upon you. So not only does he call him now to himself, to the very presence of God, that's what we find. And now he adds to this. He says, take my, verse 29, no, I think, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. Can we just leave that up there for a while? I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. And the first thing when you think of a yoke is that you come under the yoke. So it's this picture of submission. I yield to the teachings of Jesus. I don't only come to Master Jesus and say, Jesus, I like you. I've got a little Lego on my shelf. I've got a poster in my room. I've watched all your movies, but I don't follow any of your teachings. No, 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 that's way too hard. No, 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 no. Jesus says, no, no, no. Yes, come to me. Get the Lego. Put the poster on. Watch my movies. But now, we're going to start working. We've got a life to live. We're going to start walking. Take my yoke upon you. Let's till the ground. Let's work the fields a little bit. So we start to see that as we... And the second thing about it, after the yielding, is the second thing, it becomes a partnership. We're partnering with Jesus. And we're actually saying, okay, Lord, I give up my mission. I join your mission. Very simply. Very simply. It's not a thing of like, okay, I still have my own life. Every now and then I come under the yoke of Jesus. I go to church, love Alex wonderfully. And when I've got a wife as well. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, 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 no. I live under it. I live on my whole life becomes this place where I live under this yoke in the teachings of Jesus. But again, I'm with Jesus, remember? The very presence of Jesus sustaining me, giving me peace, giving me rest. There's not no part of my life where I'm separated from the person of Jesus nor from the teachings of Jesus. No part of my life. Business, work, home, parenting, mothering, fathering, relationaling, dating. I wanted to say sexing, but what's that? What's that? What's that? You know, intimacy stuff. Every part of our lives. Oh, sorry, there's kids, guys. Ask your parents. Only your parents. I've taught my kids, you only ask your parents, don't ask anyone else. You can ask Dan as well. Dan explains very well, guys. He's got a gift. He's got a gift, that guy. So when Jesus says, come under, we say yes, we yield, but we also partner with him. We come with our whole life. And we learn from him. We learn from him. Not the guy on YouTube that whose life you didn't see, who makes the 60-second, the best video. That first 3 seconds, it caught your attention. Oh, man, I'm feeling good. The music is playing. No, 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 no. You know that when Jesus is speaking, the music is not playing. It's soft, it's gentle, it's simple. You actually more than often need to put off the music to hear the soft voice of Master Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, who it is in the quiet, finding our contentment. It's saying yes to Jesus, saying, Lord, I want to learn to walk in your ways. How do you work with your boss, Lord? How do you want me to work with my boss? How do you want me to work with my wife? How do you, like very simply, think of it as an internship. Everything you do, you want to learn from Master Jesus. And sorry, a bit of a Jedi there on me now, like I need to get rid of this Master thing. Master Jesus. It's good to think about Jesus sometimes a little bit more as our Lord and our Master. It's the one who's King of Kings. You know, there's a new king in town, and he wants to be king of our hearts. He's our master, the master of our hearts. Do we allow him to master us? To say, Donovan, I know you meant well, but that was terrible, bro. And that's why we need one another. Sometimes I need Dan to come and, because I don't want to necessarily listen to my wife every time. So Dan comes to me and says, your wife is right. You meant well, but it was terrible. Jesus is leading us. He's loving us. He's teaching us. He's yoking us with a burden that is easy and is light. Why does he call it easy and light? Because he helps us with the divine power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when religion comes, it's rules, it's form, it's function. Do you know what religion is? Religion is not doing the same thing over and over. Because some of you guys don't want to pray because you think you're going to be religious. You don't want to read your Bible every day because, oh my goodness, that's going to be religious. No. Religion, it's approaching the form, but resisting the person. You can read your Bible with Jesus every day and not have any religion. Anything outside the person of Jesus and the ways of Jesus is, we can leave that actually aside. I love Jeremiah 6, verse 16. The prophet says, this is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Look around. What do you see? You see a generation who's playing games, who's playing songs, who's doing their own thing, who's seeking their own pleasures, who's promoting all kinds of immoralities and practices. When you look around, you see, we do see dead religion. And that's usually the two sides in life. You get dead religion on the one side, you get the way of this generation on the other side. And Jesus is standing in the middle and he says, ask for the old godly way. Ask for it. Lord, show me your way. Then walk in it. Then travel its path. And then you will find rest for your souls. I want to encourage us that there are sometimes you go through stuff where you actually have to go through this. You're going through difficult times, you're going through challenges, but you have to actually go like, Lord, I ask you, I need to see your ways again. Then start to walk in it, then travel in it, and you will see as you start to travel. I love Psalm 84 because it says, blessed is the man whose heart is set on pilgrimage. We have to set our hearts on this journey where we're following Jesus. But we have to realize that this rest is not found in a passive living. Yes, sometimes you have to nap. Napping is good. It's very, very good for you. Sleep well. But then when you get up to pilgrimage. Get up to travel, to walk with Jesus. To Lord, how do we do this? What do you want me to do? Very simply, guys. I think we've overcomplicated our walk with the Lord to, I think this, I feel this, but they said that. They did this. This is unfair. I don't feel the grace anymore. Where Jesus said, come, follow me. We can come under his teaching. And he says, I'm gentle and humble, a whole life aligned with his ways, his teaching and his mission, gentle and humble. I was thinking about these two words, and you know, gentle, the opposite for gentle is really anger. And anger in my life is when things don't go my way. It's a surface level emotion, but deep down is because I'm losing control. And it just reveals that my heart is not finding the yielding to the Lord's control. It's actually what it means. So I need to come to the Lord's control. His teachings, his way. Jesus says, I am gentle. And we can come out of our control into him where we find, Lord, I'm here with you. I want to submit to your ways. I want to find my rest in my peace in a world that's absolutely chaotic, guys. I mean, like, I don't know if you guys watch the news. Don't, if you don't want to. But my goodness, people are getting killed, shot, stabbed, fornicated. Like, it's going crazy out there, guys. And the Bible says in the end times, people will be lovers of themselves. It will be darker than ever. But at the same time, light will increase. The power of Jesus' humility in us and through us. It's this humility is such a beautiful thing. Listen to this. I want to land with this verse, Philippians 2, verse 6 to to aid. This is the remedy for our pride, guys. We need a remedy for our pride because we try to impress people that we actually don't like with things we can't afford. And then we give people power to validate us and invalidate us. And now this guy doesn't like my shirt, or that guy think my car is too small, and that guy's got a nicer house than I got, and this guy sings better than I do, and that guy preaches better than I do, and that guy didn't like my post that I did on Instagram last week, and I only got 27 likes for this. And it's just a problem, guys. It's a problem. The ways of this world, it's a problem. And Jesus invites us to look to Jesus. Come to me. Philippians 2 verse 6. Listen, this is the example Jesus is setting for you and me. This is a beautiful example. And Jesus, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. So Jesus is God, eh? He's the one who was in the beginning, the creator of heaven and earth. He was there. He became flesh. The Father sent him. And he's saying, even though I'm equal with you, I'm not going to cling to that. And we can do the same. We can say, Lord, I'm also made in your image. Eh? We like to quote, so, I don't know when last you quote that verse. I'm also. But Jesus says, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. That's our Jesus. He humbled himself unto death. Hebrews 12, I think, speaks about this wrestling against sin. I want to encourage us that there's this, the only way to really wrestle against sin, to wrestle against pride properly, is to come into the rest. It's in this place of rest that we can have a clear conscience before God. We can sustain that, as Dan was preaching this last couple of weeks, about the conscience, the confidence, this inward working of God that leads to outward change. It's all of those things is found in the very presence, the rest of Jesus. We don't just wrestle against these things, but we rest as we wrestle in the presence of Jesus. I want to give us just seven practical tips. You might ask, okay, how do I do this thing? Very, very easy. Seven practical tips. First one is daily scripture intake. We need to learn to prioritize unhurried Bible reading. Read the text and let the text read you. Read your scriptures and let the scriptures read you. Let it work and brew in you. Secondly, learn from those who've gone before you. Ask the guys, how did you do this? How did we go there? How did we do this? Second one. Third one is pray and be prayerful in everything you do. Bring every decision under God's authority. Actually pray about it. Do not lean on our own understanding. We want to be a people who pray. And like in Psalm 139, David says, Lord, reveal to me the motives of my heart. Don't trust the motives of your heart. Ask the Lord, Lord, what is the motive of my heart? That's good. You can say amen. Amen. That's very good. I'm speaking to myself here. Fourth one, worship Jesus. Spend time worshiping him. It's in our worship. You know, we sang this morning, I've got songs of thanks that angels can't sing because we're still on this side of eternity. You can sing in the midst of your troubles. Angels is already free of, they're helping us with our troubles. Worship God. And the next one, fifth one, is live out the godly way. Countercultural ethics. Things like honor marriage, honor life, honesty, steward resources, walking the life, repenting. These are the things that we want to practice in a culture where do your own thing, have as many women, spend as much money, countercultural living. Number six, be intentional with your fellowship. Spend time with fellow believers who sharpen you, who work on your case, who pray for you, who love you, encourage you. Be very intentional about it. As iron sharpens iron, Proverbs 27. And then last one, as you go and as you grow, start disciple the next people. I want to encourage each one of you should be discipling the next guy. Through encouragement, through prayer, through, hey, bro, what's that Lord doing in your life? This is what the Lord is doing in my life. Very simply. You literally can tell them, this is what the Lord is doing in my life. I got convicted this week. I've got encouraged. Start discipling people. And these are seven very practical ways of just finding the rest of God. So can we stand together and just pray? And so, Lord, we want to stop this morning at this crossroads. And as we look around us, Lord, we see a generation that's playing games. We see a generation that's singing songs, and we want to say, Lord, we don't want to be part of that. And on the other side, Lord, we don't want to get stuck in form or religion or just burdens. But Lord, we ask for your way. Jesus, the old, the godly way. Jesus, you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life, Jesus. We want to yield to your yoke, to your teachings, and find rest for our souls, Lord. Lord, we want to say there's no one like you, Jesus. Rest for our souls. Rest for our souls, Lord. Rest for our souls. I do want to give an opportunity this morning. If you are here and you need to make right with the Lord, you need to make sure that if you die today or tomorrow, you need to know that you are right with the Lord. You know, the Bible says that we have all sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus came. To save us from this generation. To save us unto himself. And if you're here today and you're not sure, Lord, is my life yours? If you're not 100% sure your life is yielded unto the Lordship of Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity this morning to say, Lord, here I am. I want to make sure that I'm approaching you, Jesus. And the Bible says, you confess me before men, I will confess before the Father. So if that's you, you can just put up your hand and just say, Lord, here I am. I want to give my life to you. I want to give my heart. If there's anyone here this morning, you will know. Are you in up? If there's anyone who needs to say, Lord, I want to give my life, I want to make sure that I'm right with you. Yeah, just lift up your hands to him. We would love to pray with you. Thank you. I see those hands. We're just going to pray together. Oh, Lord. Before we pray together, I just want to pray a prayer of thanksgiving just for the Lord, for this gracious invitation. Lord, we thank you. Just maybe where you are, just for a moment, just connect with the Lord. Say, Lord, thank you for this invitation that you call us to yourself, Jesus. That you call us to rest. That you call us to walk with you. That you call us to come to you personally, Jesus. And that you're in your gentleness and your humility. You take us, Lord. You take us out of darkness. You bring us into light. You take us out of death, Lord. You bring us into life. You take us out of sorrow, Lord, and you bring us into joy. You take us out of worry, Lord, and you bring us into your peace. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. So let's pray. Let's pray. Let's just, for those who've put up your hands, let's just say, Lord, here I am this morning. We can pray together, actually. Lord, here I am this morning. I give you my heart. I turn from my ways. I want to say sorry for the things I've done, Lord. And I turn to you. I give you my life. I give you my whole heart, my whole mind, all my strength. And Jesus, be my King. Be the master of my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to love you, Lord. I want to give you praise with my life. Lead me in your ways. Lord, I want to pray a prayer over each one here this morning. Lord, as we look to you, Jesus, we see a lamb that was slain. I pray that for the Spirit, Lord, of wisdom and revelation in us, to see you high and lifted up, Jesus, to see you on the right hand of the Father, interceding for each one of us, calling each one, and that we can come boldly before your throne of grace, Lord. I pray for a confidence in us. I pray for confidence, Lord, that we can come to you even in the midst of sorrows, in the midst of troubles, Jesus. Pray for a confidence.
Your Father, I pray that even as we're in this time of almost wanting to find rest just in our physical ability, I pray that this morning, that the truth of your word, that the place of rest is at the feet of Jesus, that the place of rest is as we come near to you, because your yoke is easy, your burden is light. And so I pray, Father, that for the rest of us, even as we respond to you this morning, our heart's postures, we don't just need a December break, it's you that we need. Jesus, I need you today, I need you tomorrow, I need you the rest of this week, I need you into the new year. I want to come to the feet of Jesus, Lord, that it's not my December leave that's going to sustain me, it's my life given to relationship with Jesus that will hold me. And so I look to you. Lord, I pray that even as there's been some conviction, as Donnie has shared, that we would have... Would you give us your spirit which enables us to live out that conviction, that we won't just leave this morning like, oh yeah, that was profound. No, Lord, that we would live differently, that we would be differently, that your word would come and correct us, but then in our hearts we make the adjustment and then we live it out differently as we go out from this place. And so, Lord, I pray for the empowering power of your Holy Spirit to come inside of us. That, Lord, you're not near to us in proximity, you're in us. Your Spirit of God, come and rest on us and in us and live through us. I thank you for this in your wonderful name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that all who knock, you answer. all who seek, they find. In your wonderful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.